The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation. You can post for me if you wanted to. These expensive, these is red bottoms, these is bloody shoes. Hit the school, I can get them both, I don't want to choose. And I'm quick, cut a nigga off, so don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now, I make money moves. Say I don't gotta dance, I make money moves.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to the 2017 NFL regular season edition of the Gridiron Gals podcast. If you have never listened to us before, I am Rita, a.k.a. the NFL chick.
Hey, everybody, this is Chelsea, a.k.a. Chelsea's Right.
And we want to say happy NFL New Year to you guys, those who are still watching the NFL at this point. If you're boycotting, you know, that's fine, but you can still listen to us to keep up with what's going on. We got you. If you don't want to watch it, we keep you. We'll keep you under wraps of everything that's going on.
So, if you're boycotting, I hope you was boycotting during all the domestic violence shit that was going on too.
Oh, girl, you know they wasn't. You know they a damn lie. So here we go with that. Okay, bunch of picky ass boycotters. But all right, we'll call you guys out another day. That's another topic for another day. All right, let's get started with week one of the NFL season. Was under wraps and quite a few interesting games happened. And so to ask you, what was the most shocking win that you saw? And what was the team that needs the most work?
Okay, so definitely the most shocking win was the Kansas City win over New England. Like, I wish I was a risky betting person, because somebody made some money off of that game. Anybody who took that risk made some money off of that game. I didn't think that losing, Julian Edelman?
Yes.
I didn't think that losing Julian Edelman would be that significant for the Patriots, just because the Patriots have lost people before and they seem to not ever miss a beat. I mean, they lost Gronk for several weeks at a time before. He still has a robotic arm now. So, I mean, something is clearly going on with him. But I was just very surprised that they looked that way, and they made Alex Smith look like Joe Montana out there. It was amazing. It was amazing. You know, it's kind of the gift and the curse for Kansas City, because, you know.
Yeah, definitely. What was the team that you saw that I mean, I think that game speaks for itself, no doubt. The team that you saw and felt like they needed the most work, maybe they had some expectations that they didn't live up to early on in the season, that you feel like, you know, got some ways to go.
So I'll just go by the games that I actually watched. For some reason, this usually the first game of the NFL season, I'm usually like super duper hype and everything, but for some reason I was just kind of blah. But I'm going to go ahead and say, the Redskins, I don't know what Kirk Cousins is doing out there. I don't know what $20 million Kirk Cousins is doing, or $50 million, whatever Kirk Cousins is doing out there, but he looked really bad. They couldn't get the running game off. And, you know, they look really bad. He turned the ball over three or four times. He threw two pick sixes. Boy, what are you doing? Like, this is a division game. You can't live like this for another 15 games. So I think that they have quite a few things they need together. They need to be much more in sync. They need to get, I don't know what happened to your boy from Florida that was playing running back for them.
Matt Jones, I don't even think he's there anymore.
Oh, he's not there anymore? So they just have Robert Kelly and...
Yeah. And Thompson, I believe.
Yeah, so maybe they were just out of sync. Maybe it was the fresh out the gate jitters. But you know, of course, you know, sad Redskins fans, always, that's always a pleasing sight to me. But, yeah, I think they definitely need some work.
Okay, you know, I think that the easy pick, I think, for all of us would be Kansas City and New England. So I'm going to go a different route here. And I'm going to go, my most shocking win was my Baltimore Ravens dominating the Bengals. And I say that because the Ravens have not beaten Cincinnati in Cincinnati since 2011. Typically, the last time they've had a shutout was 2009. So typically, the type of game that we saw Andy Dalton have, he had four interceptions and one fumble. That's a Joe Flacco against Cincinnati kind of day, because they play a cover four and he is still yet to figure out how to beat this cover four. Luckily for Joe, he didn't have to do much because the defense played so well. And I'm just surprised with how dominating they were defensively against the team with AJ Green. And then they got Joe Mixon, and then they got Tyler Eifert back. So I'm going to go with that, because although I do think that Kansas City is the shocker, Kansas City beat New England, I believe, last year. So it's not like they haven't beaten them before. The Ravens, it's been a long time since they put a smackdown on Cincinnati the way that they did on Sunday. As far as the most improvement, it's got to be the Colts. Ain't nothing about them good. Like, they're terrible from the owner to the GM to the head coach to the quarterback. They got some dude off the street playing quarterback, and he just was throwing ducks out there. He looked lost. He looked so lost. And it was disgusting. The defense can't stop nobody. It was a poor, poor effort by the Indianapolis Colts. And I know that Andrew Luck is not there. Andrew Luck can't save them. They terrible in all phases. They just bad on both sides of the fucking ball. So
them being terrible is the reason why Andrew Luck is out now.
Honestly, if you were Andrew Luck, would you want to go back to that
show? I'm not going back. My shoulder hurts all year.
Yep. I'm going to see it. Hey. And I'm going to be hurt all year. I'm gonna be, hey, coach, I can't do it today. Not today, coach. I can't. My shoulder hurts.
It's going to rain. My shoulder hurt. Nope.
Yep. I've come up with every single excuse, because they still don't have an offensive line that's going to block for him. They still have a piss-poor defense. So that means he's not going to get off the field. I mean, that means they're not going to get off the field defensively. So that means that Andrew Luck is going to have to try to score a billion points just to be in a game. They're terrible, dog. If you're a Colts fan, man, I would say that I pray for you, but they left Baltimore in the middle of the night, so fuck y'all. Yeah, I'm still Patty, 20-some-odd years later, 24 years later. Fuck y'all. I don't really give a damn. All right. Giants, obviously, you know, with that's always going to have some drama. So there's some different variables here that we can go there. But Odell Beckham sat out game one against the Cowboys. I don't know if you heard this story, Charles, but some weird rumor is going around that Odell and Russell Westbrook was having a dance-off, and that's why he is hurt. That's why he couldn't play. Now, I don't know how true this is, but I've seen this on some major network blogs posting that. So I'm hoping that they're just joking around, but that's some weird rumor going around.
I did hear that today, okay. And I definitely can't stop laughing, especially when I couldn't figure out why nobody has video of that. Like, I cannot forget, you know, for a second, forget the Odell Beckham part. Just envisioning him and Russell Westbrook having a dance battle.
Yep.
Like, what? Oh, my God. But apparently it was supposed to have happened on Thursday.
Right.
Before the game. And, of course, you know, he did some stretches and a few sprints or whatever he did in the warm-up, but he ended up not playing. So I think that Odell is trying to get a check cut.
Wouldn't you?
And judging by and how much they needed him in that game on Sunday night, you pay that man. Pay that man. So, that
man,
you know, the Giants scored 3 points. Like, I'm just so used to the Cowboys playing the Giants and having to pray and drink a lot of bourbon throughout the whole game. And I'm used to fourth quarter Eli coming up and, you know, doing what he does or not. But apparently they can't get anything clicking. They zero running game. I mean, they could not run at all. Cowboys completely dominated the time of possession. Like, over 75% of the game, the ball was in the Cowboys' hands. The defense was worn out. I mean, they had a few big plays, I think, with Sterling Shepard, just maybe two. But other than that, like, no explosive plays, no real running game at all. I mean, the yardage was probably under 100 yards or some shit like that. Like, it was crazy. And, of course, Eli is good for turnovers and good for fumbles and all of that fun stuff. And we got that. And you know, I'm a Cowboys fan. It was lovely to see the Cowboys dominating like that. But I'm just like, what the fuck happened to the Giants? Like,
okay, with that said, do you think that Odell made a case for more money with his absence from the game?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. His agent should have been on the phone with the Giants around about third quarter. Like, y'all want to talk about something? Y'all want to talk about some money? He made it.
If I'm his agent, I'm calling the Giants. I'm calling Jerry Reese. I'm assuming that's still their GM right now. As soon as that game was 0-0, I'd have called his agent and said, "Where my man's money at, ho? because y'all need him bad. And they need to pay that man. Like, it's no reason why Nike is paying him more money than the Giants. And he's such a big factor of that game, because if he's in that game, it changes the dynamic 180%. And so, like, for him not to be there is just it affected them, which means is that they need him to win games. And mm-hmm. So you need to pay that man. Pay that man to win some damn games. If I'm his agent, I'm going to point to that 19-3 loss and be like, if my man was up in there, problem. I'm not saying we would have won, but it probably would have been like 19-16 at the very least.
He wouldn't have looked like trash out there. I mean, he definitely – I mean – the guy's awesome. Like, you know, you have to account for him. You got to double him. You got to account for him. Like, you you just can't have Odell on the sideline, but you also can't have Odell having dance battles.
I completely agree. All right. Speaking of the other side of the ball, what factor did you think that Zeke played against the Giants? I believe he had 104 yards on the ground. Mm-hmm. Which is a good night, obviously. You know, anytime you surpass 100 yards, it's a good night. 24 carries, I believe. So,
right. Zeke was definitely the X factor in this game. If for nothing else, Dak Prescott really didn't have that great of a game. He was a little, rusty, inaccurate? Maybe I'm just a little inaccurate. But Zeke was definitely. We definitely need Zeke. I mean, you could tell the difference between he and when Alfred Morris was in. So if Zeke wasn't playing, it would have been DMC and Alfred Morris, and just such a big difference. Like, the patience that Zeke has waiting for the hole to open up before he goes into it, the way he just glides down the field, glides through those openings. Like, the dude he has a gift, and he is definitely much needed. But, you know, he also kept the legs of the defense very fresh, and they were able to do what they needed to do. So, you know, I think the running game working in tandem with the defense is the reason why the Cowboys were able to be successful. Now, they only scored one touchdown. Right. So I would love for those field goals to have been touchdowns. So definitely some work to do. So nothing is perfect. Definitely some work to do. Definitely some silly little penalties and shit like that. But we need Zeke. We need Zeke.
I think that, you know, one thing that I wish that my team had is definitely a running back like Zeke Elliott, because when you're struggling in other areas and you have a good running back, it can alleviate a lot of stress off of the rest of the offense. So if your quarterback is having a rough day, mm-hmm. your running back can take over for you. Zeke is able to play until, you know, further notice, because that got overturned with the suspension. So as for now, Zeke can play until they get some other court.
Yeah, so they have a restraining order. So
correct.
Yeah, so he can play until they figure something out. But, you know, the NFL really have tripped themselves up so much. I have no idea what's going to happen.
Yeah, no. But the good thing about that is that you can have Zeke out there for games now, like when Dak is trying to get himself together and trying to get into a rhythm. You say, hey, you got Zeke. Darren McFadden is cool, and Alfred Morris is cool, but they're not Ezekiel Elliott. So, you know, that's the one good thing that I think lots of teams don't have, which makes Zeke so special, is that he can get his team out of situations in which the pressure doesn't have to be on Dak. Because, you know, for instance, if he's not there, and we sat here and talked about the Redskins game and how Kirk Cousins didn't play well because, you know, the running game wasn't that great. Well, we're probably having that same conversation if he doesn't have that safety.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I mean, I think that he played a huge factor in making the Giants defense. Although Zeke England and Eric Berry, who, if you didn't remember, Eric Berry years ago came back, became the NFL comeback player of the year, had a great 2006 season, and now he's out for the year, I believe, with an Achilles. So, you know, if you're Kansas City, do you take that win and you roll with it, or do you grieve that loss of Barry a little bit? Because Barry is, I would think that many would say he and probably Justin Houston are probably the heartbeats of that defense.
Right. So It definitely, that game definitely was a gift and a curse to them. I mean, for a team coming in first game of the season and beating a team like the New England Patriots is definitely something to be able to hang your hat on.
Mm-hmm.
But to lose someone like Eric Berry for the entire season, I mean, that is a huge blow. The good thing is that it happened so early in the season that they can right the ship as much as they can. You know, if this has happened like in November or something, it'd be like, uh-oh, you know, but it's still right. Uh-oh, but you know, they can try to make up for it. I think these teams are very used to the injury bug and they have to have the next man up mentality, but some men are just not replaced. And Eric Berry for them is one of them. So hopefully they can make it right. Of course, I'm a big fan of Eric Berry just on the strength of all of the other things that he's gone through, with his illnesses and coming back and things like that. So I'm a fan, but that's a blow.
Yeah.
That's definitely a blow.
You know, I'm with you. I think that it did happen early, so you can find a way to, you know, work around it. I don't know. I think that Kansas City is good enough to overcome it, but I have to wait to the end of the season to evaluate how many wins and losses they could have really had if they had Eric Berry on their team, because it is so early.
Right, it is early, yeah.
You know, that's just a huge, huge loss to that team. I mean, I do think that they'll be okay, but maybe him not being there is take away two losses. Like, they could have had some play that could have been made, that would have been made by him, that the replacement didn't make. And now instead of 12-4, potentially winning the AFC West, they're like 10-6 in a wild card. So I think you do have to grieve that if you're the Kansas City staff and players, as well as their fan base. I just think that you're good enough to overcome those things. Now, are you going to be that good in the playoffs? Well, this is Andy Reid we're still talking about here, so we don't know. But I guess that's to be determined. And luckily, you know, it appears that Alex Smith has not one, not two, but three offensive weapons, so maybe they don't need their defense as much as they might have in the past.
Right.
All right, so let's switch over to college a little bit.
Throwing downhill, throwing downfield too, huh?
we'll see how consistent that is. I need to see it 3 weeks in a row, to be honest with you. I got to see it 3 weeks in a row for you to tell me that Alex Smith now all of a sudden is a downfield quarterback and not being safe and hitting those short passes. I need to see it more. And until they do that I'm not convinced yet. All right, we're going to switch it to college a little bit because, of course, we love college football season. And honestly, college football has not disappointed. Unlike the NFL, where you said earlier you was like, I was too when it came to the NFL, but college has been on it from the first week.
Yes.
If you missed week two, Oklahoma played Ohio State in Ohio State, and they beat them pretty handily. It was a good game, though. So, Mr. Baker Mayfield, you know, the one that ran from the police last summer, well, he decides that he wants to grab the Oklahoma flag, and he went to the middle of the field, around it like a little teepee. And so I guess somebody told him, like, hey, that was kind of rude. Maybe you should go out and apologize. And yesterday he came out with some bullshit-ass apology about doing it. So I ask you, Chels, should Baker Mayfield had apologized for – because you know he didn't mean that shit. Do you think he should have fake apologized for celebrating his win and planting that flag on the field?
Well, you know I enjoy foolishness. So I don't feel that anyone should apologize for foolishness. I think when things like that happen, that is a case for the football gods. I think the football gods will handle any kind of showmanship, disrespect, or whatever. I think that's how it should be handled. A college kid having to apologize for pretty much acting like a college kid, I think that's whack. My thing is, if you don't want Baker Mayfield to plant an OU flag in the middle of Ohio State University, then beat him.
How about it?
Beat him. Then you ain't got to worry about no goddamn flag.
I'm with you 110% on that. I thought I was entertained first and foremost, okay? My entertainment be anything else, in my opinion. So I was entertained, and I was more so entertained that he ran around with that flag the same way that he ran from them police with the same velocity and the same the same passion that he ran from them police. If you have not seen the if you have not seen the video, please Google Baker Mayfield police video. Trust me, you'll see it. So I couldn't stop laughing. I saw some Ohio State player tweet, I think Monday. Well, yeah, he waited till we was gone. Well, you know, I watched that whole thing, and he was stopped maybe twice, but three times by reporters. One from the ABC one, because that's where the game was broadcasted, and then a local, I guess, Oklahoma reporter. So a lot of time went by from the time that they actually won, where it went 0-0-0, and the time that he was allowed to be with his teammates. So don't make it seem like he waited deliberately for y'all to leave. No, he had to do his interviews, because that's what players do. They have to, you know, do their interviews after the game. So when, you know, when he did that, I'm sure somebody told y'all what was going on. You could have came back out there and caused some wreck, but you didn't. So you shut your ass up.
You could have been okay at the bus when he was getting ready to leave. You wasn't at the
hello bus. Hello, hello. You could have been waiting. You could have put a Joey Porter on Ray Lewis and had your ass waiting at that bus to whip his ass. You wasn't there. So, and be quiet about that. You took that L. Just take it. You'll see them in the playoffs if you make it, Ohio State, because right now y'all's offense looks like doo-doo.
Yeah.
If you make it. If you don't, ass. So, stop being so sensitive about it. And I hate when fans get sensitive about it, because this is entertainment. I am entertained. Disrespect. Entertainment. I'm entertained. They lost, and that's what happened to their ass. And I could not have been more entertained when he did that shit. All right, so from the winners to Notre Dame, the losers. Let's get to the losers. All right, Brian Kelly, I believe they played Georgia.
Yes.
The other night, and they lost a tight one. It was a good game. Brian Kelly was being interviewed by media, like they always do, and a woman journalist had a question, and she ranted for a little bit trying to get to her point, but nonetheless, she was trying to get to her question, and instead of allowing her to build to her question, Brian Kelly abruptly interrupted her and was very rude to her and dismissive of her. Again, if you have not seen this footage, I'm sure you can Google Brian Kelly, you know, post-game female reporter. But Chels, you and I both saw it. What is your thoughts? I mean, did you feel like she was taking too long? Did you feel like he was singling her out because she was a woman, or was she just, you know, at the wrong spot, meaning wrong spot to interview him at the wrong time because of the loss that they had?
Well, first of all, let me start this off by saying fuck Brian Kelly. let me just get that out the way. The next thing I wanted to say is he had his ass on his back because they lost and it was a tight game. But there's a good chance that if a male reporter was doing the same thing, that he would have responded in the same way. But women are used to men being like so dismissive when we're trying to ask questions. The assumption that is there that maybe our question isn't relevant. Like it's almost like he was like, hurry up and answer your question, little girl. You know, that's the kind of tone that he had.
Yeah.
So it was very dismissive, very condescending. And it's something that as a woman, I have experienced, I'm sure you have experienced, coming from men in some sort of capacity where you're trying to explain something and they rush you along. Even my father has done that to me. Like, we'll get to the point. And this is like, hold on, hold tight for a second, you know? And so it just looks real bad. This young lady is a beat reporter in that area in South Bend. And this is someone that he should be very familiar with. He should be familiar with her form, her type of questioning. Women sometimes will use a narrative style when we're questioning, because we like to give all of the details so you know right. What we're talking about, other than the way men talk. So like, yo, like he was a complete jerk to her. It could have been the moment and he was upset, sure, but you know what he needs to do? He needs to apologize to her, because his disposition and his response to her caused her to become very nervous, and you could hear it in her voice. So she got very tripped up and she really couldn't, you know, get it out because he was so awful to her.
Yeah. I don't know Brian Kelly well. I don't know. I don't think he's ever had a history of that type of banter with women. So I am a little hesitant to say that that's what it was, because I don't really care who he was talking to. It could have been a man or a woman. He was rude.
Yes.
They have a job, and their job is to ask the question. Now, like you said, did she do a narrative style there? Yeah. But maybe she was trying to clarify what she was saying to get to her question, so there were no questions about what she was asking.
Right.
And instead of allowing her to let that unfold, he just cut her to the chase. Now, I am the person, I am very much so the land the plane person. So I get it. I get how people want, I just want the end result. I don't really need like the full story, full thing, unless it's some real context that needs to be told. I am that type person that's like, okay, I need you to just tell me what it is that you want or the bottom line. So I get that, but it didn't feel like that. It felt like he was upset about a loss. She was taking too long in his mind, and he wanted her to hurry the fuck up. Right. And again, if it was a man, woman, child, I don't care who it is. You don't do that to people who are doing their jobs. I understand that you're upset about your loss, but just like you have a job to stand your ass up there at the podium and take the heat and the questions, she has a job to ask those questions. The problem is now is that whether or not we know that he's sexist, because we don't have real proof of that, it comes off that way because she just so happens to be a woman. So he absolutely needs to apologize to her, because it looks bad on his end that he talked to a woman journalist of anybody. I would much rather him had said that to a male, because I feel like that could have been, the male could have been able to stand up for himself, and that could have been what that was, and then the dynamic would have been different. She was dismissed, and now the topic is, well, he dismissed a female reporter.
Right.
Even if it wasn't your attention,
whether or not stand up for themselves, when women stand up for ourselves in situations like that, we are emotional.
Exactly.
Angry and things like that. And, you know, this isn't a situation where you have to show like a pattern of, you know, behavior like this. Like, a lot of men are misogynistic. A lot of men are dismissive of the ideas or of the opinions and things like that of women. So is Brian Kelly alone? Hell no. Whole lot of them are probably just like that. But it was just the way he did it in this particular moment, and the response from her. Right. It definitely, he was very intimidating. I think that's what the big issue is to me. He was very intimidating, and that is an awkward place for a woman to be, because we are often in places where we are intimidated. And even when went down to, I think she said something that was like first downs or something. It was something. And I think he knew what she meant, but he wanted to go back and check her. And I was like, Brian Kelly, you got the right one. Cause I would have told your ass to eat a dick up there in that conference.
Yeah.
Like, you got the right one.
Sure does. And I'm gonna tell you this. I think we're all going to be watching how he talks to her from here on out to see if that's the nature of their relationship, or if that was like, or if he's going to back off of her on that, because that was unnecessary. That was uncalled for. Don't take your emotions out on her because your team can't win a football game. I mean, shit, that ain't her fault. You know what I'm saying? And so, yeah, I'm not feeling him on that. I'm not really in the position to be like, oh, okay, you know, you're being, you know, a sexist. But at the end of the day, she's a human being, and it could have been a man or a woman. He was dead ass wrong. He needs to apologize point blank. So fuck Brian Kelly until he apologizes to the lady. I don't know if he has or not. But I haven't seen that he has, so fuck him. Maybe. As far as I'm concerned. A little bit serious, but we'll keep it short, because I think we're on the same page with this. So if you haven't heard, Jemele Hill of ESPN said some things via Twitter about Donald Trump, calling him a white supremacist because he surrounds himself with white supremacists and he basically enables the ideals of white supremacists. ESPN then came out and denounced her tweets, basically saying like, yeah, Jemele don't speak for us, and we've talked to her about it. She's not been suspended, because she certainly has been on the six today and yesterday since it happened. But, you know, certainly that has drawn an issue on both sides. The white supremacists who got called out or upset and one are fired. Then you have the, what they call, I guess, the left side, where they feel a way about ESPN denouncing her words when most consider that to be accurate. Most people that are more liberal consider that to be accurate. So where do you stand with this whole thing? Like, was Jemele out of line? Should she not do that because she works for ESPN? Or is ESPN pussy?
ESPN is a pussy. ESPN fucked this whole thing up. From start to finish. First of all, I saw Jamel's tweets, and I was trying to, I honestly have seen, I mean, I follow Jamel, so I was trying to see what was different about these tweets than any other things that she has tweeted about this presidency, along with the other journalists out here who have, and analysts or whatever, who have made tweets maybe not as direct as hers, but they're pretty much saying the same thing. And I looked at it. She didn't call him any, you know, well, you know, calling racist white people racist is the worst thing you can say about them. But she was very, I was like, well, I thought the tweets were very well put together. Like, she was telling the truth. I was like, what, I don't understand what's happening. And then when I saw, I think that ESPN prematurely put out that PR statement. One, I was glad that she never deleted her tweets. And two, I was glad that she wasn't the one to come out and apologize, which they probably asked her to do it. And she probably said, fuck you.
Yep.
We came out with that weak ass PR response. And I could not believe it, because everyone is saying the same thing. He's a racist. He's a white supremacist. He's everything. Name something bad, and that's what he is. And I think that ESPN really did not think about this, because look who you have working for you. Look who you are. Who is your target audience for the six?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So you completely did not think about this. And then, you know, something that our good friend Rob from Black Sports Online brought, did is he created a list of all of the people that have called her a nigger, that mm-hmm. have called her, that have said they wanted to hang her, and mm-hmm. all of these things after this, proving what she said is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Employer throws her under the bus for Donald fucking Trump. Are you kidding me? You must be out your mother. Excuse me. You must be out your mind. I could not believe that. And then Sarah Huckabee Sanders, the press secretary, who is trash. She's the one who brought it to the White House level. Now, first of all, I don't know why the reporter even asked that question. I'm sure we got a lot of shit going on in this. Yeah. I'm sure that there are other things you can talk about than whether Jemele Hill said the president was a white supremacist. But, you know, she's, oh, I don't know if the president's heard that, but I think that those comments are outrageous and it's a fireable offense. Bitch, you know what you're saying when you say you think something is a fireable offense. But what also you're saying is when the White House calls for a independent citizen to be fired from their job because of something that they said about the president, now let's really talk about some freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
Really talking about some freedom of speech. Now, you know who got busy when they saw all of that shit happening? The ACLU. They can't wait. They probably drooling. They can't.
Oh, well, now, yeah, they can't do anything. They can't do anything ESPN now. I mean, because it becomes, that's an amendment issue.
And that's a First Amendment issue. And now you have people like Mike Wilbon who's saying, I am very happy to stand with my friend Jemele Hill. Oh, nice try, ESPN. Now ESPN needs to do something to figure out how they're going to change the bad taste in their mouth they put for all of their people that you got. Like, you got the whole undefeated staff, which is all black, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Are y'all kidding me right now?
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. And it goes back to that, we black people, we just want you to shut up and not say anything. Hello, yep. Colin Kaepernick. And black women, oh, we don't like sassy black women now.
Mm-hmm.
We don't like sassy black women. And Jemele Hill is being ostracized and criticized for being a sassy black woman.
I'm so tired of black women getting the brink of these types of things. When we were upset with Sage Steele for saying the things that she was saying about politics, they essentially promoted her, it seems, to a morning gig. Instead of, you know, coming out, speaking out on her behalf. I'm tired of hearing people talk about how ESPN is the liberal network when you rehired Hank Williams Jr. to come back and sing your Monday Night Football song when he said all the awful things that he said about Obama. You have Rex Ryan, who did the Monday Night Football game, who walked out Donald Trump at one of his rallies. So I really don't, you know, I hate that it's Jemele that caught the slack of it, but it makes sense because it's easier to pick on the black woman to do it. You know, it's funny because I never see Fox Sports telling Clay Travis, hey, you've gone out of line, or, you know, any of those guys, because they don't give a fuck. ESPN right. shouldn't either, because ultimately you still own the rights to Major League Baseball games, major games, major Monday Night Football, college football. So people aren't leaving. I don't care what they say. Okay. Your ratings might go down only because people are streaming those things as opposed to watching them on an actual TV. Right. Outside of that, no one's quitting ESPN. They own too much shit live programming for people to really and truly stop dealing with ESPN. ESPN should have grabbed their balls, let it happen, maybe say something internally. Hey, don't do that and be done with it. But don't put out that bullshit statement. That's bullshit. And that's the problem that I have, is that she has the right to say those things, and she's not, and she's saying it, and you can find proof to back up her statement. When you have a president that the people on both and fucking white supremacists and Nazis, what are you saying here? You're condoning these motherfuckers to be powerful. So what did she say that was so wrong that you felt the need to come out and make a statement like that?
It's just what I said. It wasn't what she said. It was who she is saying.
Right.
Sassy black woman. Britt McHenry, who always talks out the side of her neck and has as much talent as the highlighter that I have on my desk at work, has said horrible, god-awful things.
Yeah.
Well, she's a blonde white girl. So,
I mean, to be fair, she's unemployed, and I don't even know why she's unemployed.
That's because she's been unemployed because she got suspended because she went off on a parking attendant, and they got that shit on video.
Yeah, but then but then they let her back to work. So I don't know what she got fired for this time. Like,
exactly. But people like her say things all the time. Kurt Schilling was working at ESPN for a long time, and he is a horrible person. It wasn't until he made transphobic comments that they fired him. Jason Whitlock is a piece of shit.
Yeah. I mean, and a lot of ESPN workers, previous and present, all agree that Kurt Schilling got fired not because he made a political views, but because they went to him, said, hey, you're making these outrageous accusations. We need you to stop. And he kept doing it anyway. So that's why he got fired. It ain't like, well, first time he was out, he did the shit numerous times after numerous warnings and didn't stop because he thought he was a white man that could get away with some shit. Let's be honest here, people. Okay, I need if you're a white person and specifically a white man that's listening to this podcast, y'all got some special privilege that Chels and I will ever, never, ever know anything about. And Kurt Schilling absolutely tried to use his privilege to do what the fuck he wanted to do anyway. And ESPN was like, we told you, we sick of your ass. You got to go.
Right. It was way too long, though. Way too many chances.
Absolutely. So for people to ask Jamel to get fired, that's not going to happen. This is her first offense. She's not going to get fired.
It wasn't an offense. That's what I'm saying.
You're right. It's not an offense.
You know, she didn't offend an entire group of people.
Correct.
She didn't, you know, she didn't say anything that was racist or sexist or, you know, any kind of xenophobic thing or whatever. She did not. She told her truth based on evidence that is provided, based on evidence that is substantiated by things that he has done. He just pardoned the most racist sheriff in recent history.
Correct.
Like, what the fuck? If they would have said, Jamel, why do you think Donald Trump is a white supremacist? She probably could have said, how much time you got?
Yep.
How much time you got? So, you know, ESPN has a lot to, they have a lot to unpack or repack or reposition when it comes to this, because now they have to look to the African-American and the Latino and the brown and the black and all of these people that are in your company now that's looking at you sideways because you was about to say, and let me tell you something, Jamel Hill is a very, very, very respected journalist in ESPN and outside of ESPN. Mm-hmm. So, they really fucked this one up. They really fucked this one up. So, you know, and she, you know, other than stuff like this, like, you know, I say what I got to say about Jamel Hill. I still think she corny. I still think I'm like, that shit ain't funny. What y'all laughing at?
Right.
She is a hardworking black female journalist that has paid her dues, that has, you know, done everything that she needs to do to be successful, that has a successful show, and she's being railroaded by white supremacy just like everybody else gets it. And fuck them.
Yep.
Men should be ashamed of themselves.
I'm going to end it with this. I'm going to end the discussion with this. And I'd love one day to see athletes from all sports get fed up with the media and buy their own platform, but have their people running it and them giving that network the exclusives. Because do you realize how much money that's taken out of people's pockets if they are only dealing with that network and putting content on that network?
Hmm.
That would be huge. I'd love to see something happen like that if this continues. Because we have what it takes to just do our own thing. Without Black people, there's no sports. And your viewership goes down too, because obviously Black people watch a ton of sports. So you need us. You need us to survive, whether it's viewership or playing the game or giving those sound bites for the game. And I'd love to see athletes get their own shit together and do exclusive content with a site or a station that's Black owned, Black anchored, Black funded. And I know that sounds maybe far off. I don't really think that we're as far off as we might be because we're getting pushed to these limits. So at some point, something's got to give. Now, are ESPN going to give to it and say, okay, we need to stop because that is a big part of our audience? Or are we going to give and say, fuck this, we're going to do our own thing and just make our own moves? So I think that that's something to be determined, but I that's something that I'd love to see happen at some point. All right, so before we go, you know, college football, of course, this weekend, NFL this weekend. So what games are you looking forward to both on the college level and the NFL level?
The NFL level, college level. College level, I'm looking forward to the Clemson-Louisville game, the night game. Yeah. I think we really can get to see what Clemson's defense is about, but I just want to see a good game. I want to see now, I believe that Clemson lost to Louisville last year. Did they lose to Louisville last year? I believe they did.
I don't think so. I think Clemson squeaked it out, I believe.
Okay, well, it was
a close game either way, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, it was a good game. So, but there's no Deshaun Watson this year. So, I'm interested to see what everybody, now once we get past, week two, we get into the further weeks, that's when you get into the real meat of college football season. So that's the game I'm looking forward to most. The NFL game that I'm looking forward to most, I think, I feel, am I disenfranchised with the NFL?
Yeah, maybe.
It ain't hard. Cause I'm just like, okay. Like, I guess I'll just say that I'll be safe. The one game I'm guaranteed to watch is the Cowboys and the Broncos. So I'll be
okay.
Safe. I think that the Broncos will be a much better matchup for us than the Giants were than we thought the Giants were a good matchup. But I just want to see. I have a feeling that we'll win this game, but I just want to see what this Dallas Cowboys team is going to look like on the road in Mile High. I believe it is on the road. So yeah,
yeah, you playing there?
Yeah, and you know what? Let me add a little something to this. Okay, so everybody knows that DeMarcus Ware is like one of my favorite Cowboys ever, and I would like to marry him. And once I found out that he is divorced, that my chances look. I gotta get in the gym, my body in order, honey, because pimples and stuff. And he might want to squeak out one more baby or something like that. I am here for you, DeMarcus. But look, so DeMarcus Ware, that he's a Cowboy for life. But I think it's real petty that the Cowboys are playing the Broncos this weekend, and the Broncos decide that they want to honor DeMarcus Ware in that game.
Sure. Absolutely, that's petty.
He belongs to us. He belongs
to the Cowboys. So he belongs to them now.
Now, I got to call somebody. DeMarcus, if you hear this, I'm trying to tell you, give me 3 months. Give me 3 months in the film on the Stairmaster. I got you, boo.
Kells, please, are you shooting your shot on the fucking podcast right now?
My shot. I am Steph Curry right now. Girl, when I found out he was divorced, I was so happy. Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. I ain't even mad at you, man. I'm not fucking mad at you, at all. So I'm going to go ahead and, shoot this link to DeMarcus Ware. Maybe he can listen to it.
Do it.
And we can try to work some love connections out. All right. For me, college, I'm going to stick to my own game because Florida didn't play last week. We know the first week they weren't clicking on offense at all. But they played Tennessee, which is obviously a big rivalry game for them. obviously last year Tennessee broke the streak, winning Florida won 11 straight against Tennessee, and then they broke the streak, but now they're back in Gainesville this year. I still don't know this Florida team, again, mainly because they didn't play last week because of Hurricane Irma, so I have no idea what to expect, but rivalry games are always good games, typically. You know what I mean? So, Florida-Tennessee games in the past few years have been good. They've been fun to watch. I expect this one to be no different, even though I have no idea what Florida team is going to come out. I don't even know what quarterback is playing, but I think it should be fun. So, that's obviously my game. And then, for the NFL, I was kind of going through it as well, and I was like, you know, all these teams are trash, though. Like, you know, nothing fazed me. But one game did stick out to me, and that was Minnesota at Pittsburgh. I liked what Minnesota did last week. They looked really good. And I know it's New Orleans. Don't get me wrong. So I get that New Orleans defense is not good. But I'd like to tell people that Pittsburgh's secondary still has issues. Yes, I know that they got Joe Hayden. That does upgrade them a little bit. But they're still working some things out defensively as well, the Steelers. And then we know that the Vikings have a good defense. And you know what Pittsburgh has. Le'Veon Bell struggled a week ago, but I don't really expect that to continue. That's just because he just literally came in and signed his tender like 2 days before the season, and they have Antonio Brown, of course, and Ben Roethlisberger. So that game to me seems like the most balanced game that'll have the bigger plays. I don't know who's gonna win. I don't really give a shit about the Steelers, and Sam Bradford looks boring as hell to me in real life, but I feel like I'm going to be entertained watching this game. So that's the game that I'm looking forward to on the NFL level. Chels, any final thoughts before we get out of here?
You know, honestly, I think that we've talked so much about so many different things. I think I am all out of final thoughts, other than just to say I hope that this is a clean, injury-free week in the NFL.
Yes, I hope so too. I hate seeing guys go down. Obviously, the Ravens had Danny Woodhead go down. We've seen Eric Berry go down. We've seen, I think the Bears had some players go down. Kevin White, I believe, is back on IR. So I feel like, but the good thing is, it's like the Bucks and the Dolphins, who didn't get to play last week because of Irma, they're back in. And so if you've been following Hard Knocks and you're interested in the Buccaneers, now you get to see what their product is going to look like on the field. So hopefully that'll keep you entertained. I'm more so now feeling the college, because I'm getting what the excitement is. I'm getting the excitement from college, what NFL used to give me, but NFL ain't giving it to me right now. And it just ain't fun right now for me. I don't know. I don't know if I'm cheating on the NFL. I don't know if the love is starting to wane a little bit, but I know that the games are boring as hell and they ain't making it no better. Shit.
Well, all right.
All right, guys.
Get it all off your chest.
I did. I know this is a football podcast, but shit, in a minute, we can rate be the college football podcast, because that's where all the fun is at.
Yeah, that's where the fun is. I'm telling you, if you ain't on the bus, get on it.
You better get on the damn bus. Pick you a team and get your ass on that bus. So next week, hopefully we'll have some good games happen. Even though on paper they look kind of trashy, maybe some good stuff will happen and we'll have a lot to talk about. Hopefully this whole Jemele Hill thing will have blown over and something else would have happened, because y'all's president else happened. It's going to make us talk about something different. Just enjoy the games this weekend, guys, both college and NFL. Have fun this weekend, and we'll talk to you guys next week.
So don't get comfortable. Look, I don't dance now. I make money moves. Say, I don't gotta dance, I make money move. If I see you now speak, that means I don't fuck with you. I'm a boss to a worker, bitch. I make bloody moves.